This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 5th, episode 863. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, thank you for everybody for joining us on this Wednesday morning, and thanks to Back on Track Products for being our title sponsor today. We had something fun happen yesterday, you know, and actually I was talking to one of our listeners about it on Facebook. We had Emily, who does our Wellington reports, and her sister-in-law just happened to stop into the studio here yesterday and say hi and hung out for about an hour. We had so much fun chatting with her. I posted a picture of us together on Facebook, on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. But it was just, she's from Essequestrian, and they were in the neighborhood visiting stores and just stopped by, and what fun they are. And you know, I was chatting with one of our listeners about it, and, you know, she made a good point. She was Rhonda, I believe, and she said, you know, nobody stops in anymore. It used to be when we were growing up in the little town in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, the neighbors were always stopping in. You always had people just stopping by. Nobody called. You just came, knocked on the door. I just remember neighbors being in our house all the time. That doesn't happen anymore. Nobody stops in anymore.
Thank God. Thank God it doesn't. That'd be awful.
Did that happen in Atlanta? Did you have people stopping in?
I can't say that people would just stop by. No. And now I'm to the point where I don't know if, like, I've turned into a recluse or something, but, like, if the doorbell rings, I almost freak out. Like, oh, my God, why is somebody here?
Yes,
I don't understand.
Right.
Who's ringing the doorbell? Why are people, huh? What's going on? Am I dressed? Like, that's the other thing is when I'm at home, I'm pretty much looking like a mess. I'm a big hot mess.
You know, I think Rhonda's right then. It just proves Rhonda's point. Nobody stops in anymore. And when they do, everybody freaks out. The only people that you ever see stop in anymore are sometimes the mailman, and that's usually bad news because they'll have a registered letter for you, and that's never good news.
Oh, boy. And, never good.
Yeah, never good. And then the UPS guy, and that's always like Christmas, so that's okay. But that's it.
You see that FedEx truck or that UPS coming down the driveway, you're like, oh, my God, presents. What did I buy on tack of the day? You know, or something like that. That's exactly
how I
feel.
You know what's funny about that? Is we're so excited to open that box. We ordered it. We know exactly what it is. But we're still excited to open the box.
I know. Ooh, Amazon. Yay. What
and it's
is
really
it?
Fun. It's really fun when you forget what you ordered and you open up and went, oh, cool. And you've totally forgotten. I had totally forgotten I ordered it. So
yeah,
that's good.
I do that too.
Things we talk about on this show. Good morning, Jennifer. What's coming up?
Good morning. On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, once our co-hosts have once again focused on the show, it's Extreme Home Makeover Equestrian Edition, as Shelly Garitzma from Canter Lane Design stops by with some guidelines to help us keep our equine-themed interior design properly balanced. And in the third half of the show, the Equity MFG Celebrity Trivia Challenge swoops into town for a fun-filled trip down the side of Humpville Hump Day. Stay tuned for the ray, folks.
And I just wanted to let everybody know that Jamie is babysitting this morning, so we might hear a little baby Luke in the background because her husband has left her. Just temporarily.
There we go. Yeah. More words.
He left her to go skiing. I didn't mean he left her. But. All right, let's do our daily read. Well, actually, Jamie has left us now. I'm sure she'll be calling back here in a minute. We lost Jamie. Well, my daily Winnie goes out to everybody who has now become an official HRN auditor. We made that announcement on Monday about how you can help support the Horse Radio Network and become an official HRN auditor of the Horse Radio Network, sort of like a member. And we had, I want to thank the following people. We've only talked about it on one show so far, and that was on Monday. And we've had Suzanne, Genevieve, Rhonda, Sarah, Gina, Robin, Susan, Carol, and Wendy are our first HRN auditors. And we really appreciate them being involved, and we appreciate them. We appreciate their support of the Horse Radio Network. If you want to do the same, just go to Horses in the Morning. .com or horseradionetwork.com and click on the big banner in the middle of the page. It's easy, simple to do, and you can donate as little as $1 a month, and there's all kinds of incentives and stuff you can see on the page there. So you can even sign in. You know, I hate registering and have different passwords for everything. You can use your Facebook to sign in as well. So it makes it very simple and very easy. Thank you to everybody that has, and we look forward to having more people become auditors of the Horse Radio Network. And it's Jamie's turn. Jamie,
well,
are you there?
I'm not gonna, yes, I'm here. Sorry, phone troubles. Because I'm not going to be here on Friday, my daily Winnie has to go out to Mucho Macho Man, who's running in the Santa Anita, the big cap this weekend. You guys, don't forget to watch that. And, again, good luck to Mucho Macho Man and all of his connections.
And I want to tell everybody, if you want to watch something fun, head over to Mucho Macho Man's Facebook page, and I think they posted it on there, or maybe it was on the Reeves Facebook page. Did you see the thing with the village people?
I didn't watch it, but I saw that they had posted it, and it was apparently a lot of love for Mucho from the village people. What was it?
Yeah, there was a whole seven-minute interview that this other radio guy did, and it had all the village people there. And by the way, I think they've replaced a few village people because they look pretty young.
Oh, no.
So the village people keep looking young again. So I think that some of them have gone by the wayside. But, yeah, the village people are all excited about Mucho Macho Man, and it was interesting to watch the interview with these guys. Apparently, they are still, like, selling out places all over the country.
Well, I guess it's one of those bucket list things, like, I want to see the village people before they die or we die, you know.
Well, they said they were going to try and go to the race, but they have a concert and they couldn't get there. And it was actually kind of a fun interview. And that's actually over on Patty Reeves' Facebook page. But it was kind of fun. I would have taken it. It was pretty long. That's why I didn't take sound from it. But it was fun if you want to go check it out. And what else is going on here? Let me see. Well, I guess that's it as far as we don't have much housekeeping stuff today. And
obviously what's going on here is that my husband has gone out of town and I'm with the baby. So you guys are sweet for sticking around. I'm going to have to put him to sleep here in a minute. And so I'll be back by the equity.com celebrity trivia challenge. Thank you, Lucas. That's so nice of you to talk to everybody.
Do you want to go take care of that and come back?
Oh, I hate to do it. I hate to leave you guys. But, yeah, see, I wake up at 5:45, my time for this show, and this morning he did too. So that's convenient. Hey.
That's okay. I have a little quiz for the listeners we can do in the meantime. So go take care of baby
okay.
Luke.
Okay, I'll be
all
back.
Right. All right, Jennifer, I have this little quiz, and you're going to have to play the quiz now that Jamie's not here.
Okay.
Wednesday mornings, we usually try and touch on something that has to do with horse health. And, of course, we had Dr. Chang here on Monday talking a lot about nutrition. So, but today I saw that Equestrian Collections, they have a vet on staff, Sally Hyman, and she had posted building an equine first aid kit. And, you know, we've talked about first aid kits before, and we've all seen the lists of things. But sometimes, you know, we all say we're going to do it or we all say we have it. And then when we go look, we discover that we don't have anything that's really supposed to be in there.
I thought I had that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think we're going to find that we're pretty lax on this one, too. And so you can answer for both of us, because I really don't know, because I wouldn't even know where it is, to be honest with you. I'm a bad horse husband. I need to find that out. So these are the things. So all the listeners at home, you can play along. Do you have these things in your emergency first aid kit? First of all, do you have an emergency first aid kit? That would be the first thing. If the answer to that is no, then you don't have these things. So the rest of this is going to be pretty simple quiz here today. But let's, okay, Jennifer, here we go. In general, a halter, lead rope, those are pretty standard things, I think. Twitch, do we even own a Twitch anymore?
Yes, we do.
I didn't know that.
Do you know what a Twitch looks like?
Yeah, but I wouldn't, I guess I haven't seen it around lately, so I don't know where that is.
You know,
a wire cutter?
You have seen it. You just don't know you've seen it because it's right on the center shelf next to the box of horse cookies.
Well, that means that guarantees I won't see it if it's out in plain sight because I'm a guy. That's why that happens. Wire cutters is another one that should be in the emergency supply kit. I think we're pretty good on that one. Hoof pick, you know.
Now, here's
everybody
the thing, though.
Their,
here's the thing.
It's the wire cutters
you're
in the kit.
You're skipping an important point. We have wire cutters. Can we find...
They're not in the kit.
That's the thing, see?
See there. Okay, we have wire cutters. They're not in the kit. So I
there
think we get an F for that one, too. Hoof pick.
We're halfway there. We get 50%.
That's right. Hoof pick and a flashlight and extra batteries are the general things that should be in your emergency kit. And I think probably out of that we have two that are actually in the emergency kit.
Do you know where the flashlight is?
Yeah, in the house. Right over here.
You know where it is in the house?
Yes, I do know that. Because I have to use it occasionally to go out and put the blankets on the pony. So I do know that one. Now, as far as the hoof, this is where I get lost because Jennifer has to answer this. Epsom salts.
You bet.
Okay. Diapers. I guarantee you we don't have any diapers.
I'm going to have Jamie send me some of those.
Yeah. And that's to wrap the feet, if it's ever needed to wrap the feet. Poultice pads.
No, just poultice. No pads.
Okay.
I go old school.
And an easy boot.
Flat boots.
All right. Wound care. Now, these are things that should be in your emergency kit. Are they in yours? In wound care, they have iodine scrub, some kind of iodine scrub.
Check.
Okay. 4x4 gauze squares.
Check.
Wound pads. Gauze,
check.
Cotton, things like that. Okay. Nonstick wrap, and I think what they mean by that is like some kind of, don't they really mean the wrap we use in the house?
You think they're talking about Glad wrap, like cellophane wrap?
Or
do you think they're talking about?
I don't know. What are they talking about?
Because the next line says
polo
flexible.
Wrap?
Oh, I see what they mean. The first one, nonstick wrap, is like a vet wrap.
A polo vet wrap, yeah, okay. Got it.
That wrap. And the next one, flexible sticking wrap, is that stretchy tape stuff that football players use on their ankles. Nobody has that. That should be taken off the list. Nobody has it unless they have DVM next to their name.
Saline wound flush?
Nope. We've got that, and it's called saline solution for your eyeballs, and I take it out of your bathroom area, and I take it to the barn. Got it?
That's why that always disappears.
Yeah.
I wonder
That's
I never have any saline for my contacts. The bottle's always empty. Now I know why. Duct tape, triple antibiotic ointment, and water-resistant aerosol bandage. Water-resistant aerosol bandage. A Band-Aid?
You know what that's for? And I know they make that for people, but I think they also package it for horses. That is for you, because by the time you're done doing all of that other stuff, you've got several cuts and scrapes of your own that need to be taken care of. Because personally, I don't think I can get close to my horse with an aerosol can of anything.
That's true.
Don't think I can.
Extra supplies. Okay, these are extra things that need to be in your equine vet kit by Equestrian Collections. Baby wipes. We have them
once again to wash the slime off of you.
Yeah. Bandage scissors. We do have those. Large animal digital thermometer. We have that. Petroleum jelly. That always seems to disappear. I don't know what happens to petroleum jelly, but it's like socks. It just walks away. You could never find it again.
You know why? I know why it does that.
Why?
Because
it's slippery.
I mean, hello, it's just petroleum jelly. It costs you 89 cents at the store. You're really careless about where you leave it, and it gets left in the sunshine somewhere, tipped over, and then it all melts and runs out the can.
Yeah. Tweezers or forceps? Got those.
Yep.
Stethoscope. We don't have a stethoscope right now. I was thinking about that the other day. We don't have one right now, do we?
No, and I meant to order that the other day, and I forgot to. Ooh, time for a box from Amazon. Woo-hoo.
There you go. We do need to order one of those. Exam gloves, the little, you know, rubber gloves.
Now, I'm curious. Exam gloves, rubber gloves, latex gloves, et cetera. In some parts of the world, they are hard to find because it's not something that everyday folks use. In other parts of the world, for example, Lexington, Kentucky, and Ocala, Florida, you can go to any tack and feed store and buy them in two different styles and three different sizes by the box full because they use them at all the really big breeding farms. And I'm really curious about whether or not that's something that our typical listener has access to at a tack and feed supplier, if they sell rubber gloves at those places, or if they have to order them online or go to the grocery store and buy dishwashing gloves, or they go to the hardware store.
Well,
drugstore
has them too. Instant cold packs. We have them. They're not cold. Oh, I know what they mean. They mean those ones that you sort of break open. We don't have any of those.
Right.
We should
don't
have
those.
We live in Florida. We should have those. Tourniquet. That's anything that looks like a rope, right? Actually, they mean the rubber ones.
Yeah, anything that can be created into a rope shape. We have those.
Exactly. Your belt. Clean towels. Sometimes we have clean towels in the barn. Sometimes not. And then
it depends on the day of the week. If it's Monday morning, there are no clean towels left.
And then it says, ask your veterinarian if she would like to keep the following supplies. These must be obtained through your veterinarian. So these are veterinary things that you might have. Silver sulfazine. You have to help me with some of these. Silver sulfazine? Sulfadiazine.
It's what folks use nowadays instead of Furox. Yep.
Got it. Banamine. Everybody knows what banamine is. Equiox. Is it Equiox? Equiox.
It's another NSAID. Yep.
Yep. And, of course, Bute. Triple antibiotic. I wonder why that's the vet version, I guess. And then I don't even know how to say that. Some kind of ointment that you're supposed to have, too.
That would be eye ointment.
Yeah, was it? Yeah, well, why don't they just say eye ointment instead of giving a great big name? I'm not sure.
See, here in Florida, you can buy that over the counter.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Now,
so
the supply's a little dicey, but you can buy ophthalmic ointment over the counter. Now, not all ophthalmic ointment is the same. I suspect that the one that they're talking about here on this list is the antibiotic prescription kind versus the one that we buy over the counter, which is really only good for the most minor of eyeball issues. But, interesting. Interesting. I didn't know silver sulfadiazine was a prescription product, but I guess it is.
And I would say that we did pretty poorly on that list, actually, things that are actually in the kit. Uta chimed in and said, sad thing is that if someone gets a cut in my house, I have to go to the barn for my first aid supplies. Isn't that true of most horse places or horse people?
That's
true of most horse people. That is true, Uta. Thank you for posting that. Well, that is the list. I hope you passed on yours. If you didn't, you can find it at Equestrian Collections on their blog. And the author of that particular list was Sally Hyman, who is a doctor of veterinary medicine. Well, there was something cool that's coming out here very shortly, or not coming out. It's a concept vehicle, and it's from Toyota. And I'm bringing it up because they're now calling it a high-tech horse. Yes, that's what they're saying. The Toyota FV2 concept has made its European debut, and it doesn't look like anything else at the car show in Geneva. It comes with lots of fancy technology, three wheels, and no steering wheel.
No steering wheel?
Yeah, this is the thing. It's not. So this is what you do. It is. They say it's an improvement on the horse. The driver stands while in the vehicle and shifts his weight to steer. So it's sort of like the two-wheel ones the guy came out with? I think of the name of
Segway.
It's sort of like the Segway, only it's a three-wheeled vehicle. And like a horse, it says in the press release that Toyota says it believes the relationships between driver and their vehicles will continue to develop aspects of trust and understanding similar to those a rider will have with a horse. So that's the connection they're making, is that you're going to develop this relationship with your vehicle.
Yeah. Wait a minute. So does that mean if you get home from work one day and you had a really bad day and you get out of your high-tech Toyota concept car and kick it in the freaking tire because you had such a bad day, the next morning when you climb in, it's going to buck you off?
That's exactly right. If it's grumpy, it's going to buck you off. Exactly right. They have a picture of the concept. It's not even a car, vehicle. It's not a motorcycle either. You know, I think there's a couple deal breakers here. One is, who wants to stand up for extended periods of time while you're going to and from? That's the one thing that I think is going to be a total deal breaker, especially here in the United States. And the other thing is, I can't see how you're strapped into this thing. I just picture you falling right out the side. You make a lean and you just keep going. Unless
like
your
on a horse.
Feet are, I can't see how the feet. Jennifer can post a link to this article on the pictures. I just don't know how your feet would stay. I don't know how you're going to stay on this thing. I really don't. It's cool looking, but I have some issues with the whole leaning thing.
I have an issue with the business model myself. New concept is more high-tech horse than car. Just that statement alone eliminates one of the most densely populated cities in the United States of America and a serious demographic that they will not be able to sell to, New York City. No horses
in New
York City.
That's
right.
They don't want horses in the city. That's right. They don't want
their
horses in
the
city.
They will not allow
them. Yeah, they better watch what they do.
I think they need to be careful about what they call it.
It's cool looking, and I assume it's going to get, you know, hundreds of miles a gallon or whatever. But, I don't know. I think I'd want to do 70 miles an hour on the highway.
They do have a picture of it cruising down in an interstate kind of a place. And do you notice when you look at the picture, and it's an artist's rendering, because I think they built one of them, that they're all driving and they're not in their own lane. They're all crossing the little lines, and the vehicles aren't in their own lane.
And the other thing is, what's really funny in these pictures, because you stand up and there's no steering wheel, there's nothing to hold on to. So all of the drivers have their hands out to the sides, and it makes it look like, you know, it looks like they're just balancing the whole time. It would be weird to drive something without something to hold on to. That's just a foreign concept. You know, horses, we still hold on, so they should put some reins. I'm thinking if they're going to go with the horse analogy, it should have some leather reins that come out of the dashboard area. That's what I'm thinking. There's something to hold on to. Hey, something else, too. I got to tell you about this. This is a bizarre story out of New Mexico. And it just, you know, we get requests, Jennifer, probably, I don't know, 10 a week, that we get requests from people, from horse rescues to come on the air and talk about their rescue and the fact that they need hay or they need help of some kind. We're very particular about the people that we get on the air from rescues. We want to make sure that they're reputable, that they're not fly-by-night organizations, that they actually have done all the work to make it a legitimate rescue. And this is why. It says here, this is out of New Mexico. It says there's a battle brewing between New Mexico animal rescue worker and the state. And this is why. Apparently, this woman from Rangers Legacy Equine Rescue, her name is Crystal Denton, went into a home and took a 5-year-old horse out of this person's home. And because she said it was being neglected. So the group says the animal had been abandoned for months with visible injuries, and they were simply rescuing it from its owner. But the New Mexico Livestock Board, that's the group in the state that's in charge of all the animals in the state, said inspectors say otherwise. Inspectors say the horse's injuries were caused by a dog attack, which belonged to a different owner before this owner got the horse. And they have, apparently what happened is this rescue lady took it upon herself to go and basically stole the horse. A vet examined the horse and found her to be underweight but perfectly healthy considering her previous facial injuries. The livestock board took the horse from the rescue group and gave it back to the owner. Despite the vet's report, the rescue group has started a smear or a social media campaign to smear the state, saying that they were inept in this case and everything. And, you know, the state came back and said, well, if that's the case, then we're going to arrest you. And they arrested her for illegally transporting an animal and unlawful bill of sale. So they have gone back and arrested her for basically stealing the horse, which is what she did. So if you're in the rescue business, you know, there are ways to do things that are legal and there are ways to do things that are not. And working with whatever organization in your area is the legal way, it's probably the better way, or they will arrest you. It doesn't matter what shape the horse is in or not. You still went in and stole the horse. You don't have a right as a rescue to go take a horse out of a person's field.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, that she...
Go ahead. Well, it is...
I was just going to say...
You finish.
She just said that she felt it was her moral right and that she needed to save the animal. Well, moral rights and legal rights are two different things. Go ahead.
Yeah, they are. That's right. And, you know, I totally get the frustration of legitimate rescue groups when animals are in danger or in serious states of neglect or abuse. But on the other hand, if you don't get satisfaction or help from Agency A, go to Agency B and Agency C and Agency D. And there are a lot of ways to work within the parameters of the law, not just, you know, call 911. So it's sad to see that happen because so many rescue groups do it right, and every once in a while they overstep the bounds, and this particular one did.
Yep.
I'm back.
Oh, she's back. And did you have success?
I think he's asleep, but he's in the other room, so I can't hear him, so tough.
So you're good.
I'm good.
You have him strapped down to the crib. You're good to go.
Pretty much, yeah. He can't get out.
Well, we were just talking about what should be in your emergency kit, and we went through that, and we determined that we had about 3/4 of those things are not in our emergency kit that have been. The thing about emergency kits, too, is, you know, you start out with good intentions, and you put everything in there, like you go build one, and you put it all. Then you start to use the stuff little by little, and you don't replace it. And then after, you know, 2 years, your emergency kit is completely decimated, and you have to start over because you've
now looking at this list. Jennifer, do you know what this means for us? Shopping! Yeah, shopping.
You got to come to my house.
I mean, your husband just said that you didn't have enough stuff. That's what I heard.
Yep.
That's basically true.
Hey, Glenn.
You know, yeah.
You got this list from EquestrianCollections.com. Do they have a handy little button that just says, and you can hit one buy button that says, get me everything.
Buy it all.
Yes.
They
do sell prepackaged first aid kits over there, so I'm sure they can take care of that for you.
I think that's the way to go.
Sold. I mean,
yep,
you know.
Definitely the way to go. Well, we're going to take a break for our title. You're back just in time for a commercial. We're going to take a break
Woo-hoo!
For our title sponsor, and then we're going to come back with our first guest of the day. So we'll be right back after Back on Track.
Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
You know, I know that not, horse people, Jennifer, you know, you too, for some reason, a lot of horse girls that I know don't have kids. And so for the ones that do, you're going to understand this, and I'm going to explain the way things work for those of you who don't have kids. Jennifer, let's see, my baby just turned 9 months old, okay? So he's 9 months old, and I think that in the entire 9 months, I have not eaten a piece of food that is hot, okay? There's two things that happen. When you're hungry and your baby is sleeping and you sit down, you prepare a meal and you sit down and there it is, it's sitting on the plate and you go to take a bite, inevitably the baby wakes up and will stop crying, okay? So you don't get to eat hot food anymore. And the other thing is, like with the show preparing, as soon as I thought maybe for the first, you know, half hour he would be okay, but what also happens is the fact that the moment you need somebody else needs your attention, that is also when they start crying. So you don't get hot food anymore, and nobody gets your full attention.
That is true, isn't it?
Last night, I'm by myself, and I cook my own meal. I'm like, oh, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to have a glass of wine. I'm going to eat some ravioli. It was delicious. I sit down. I pull it up. Are you kidding me? It's like he knows. He knows when I'm hungry, and he knows when I've got hot food.
That's funny. And every mother has gone through that, I'm sure.
I don't know when I'll get to have hot food again. It's going to be a beautiful thing, and I will definitely, like, make a note in his baby book. And now, you're 17 years old, and finally I was able to eat something straight out of the oven.
Well, you're going to see Chad's family this weekend, so you're guaranteed to get some hot food at some point.
That's only because I'm going to hand him off to, like, my mother-in-law and be like, hold him,
that's
I'm
right.
hungry.
There he is. That's one nice thing about going to see family who haven't seen your child in a long time.
I know. It's going to be great. Yeah. It's going to be great. And the other thing we've decided that we can't go anywhere at night because the only thing he does when he gets in the car at night is the second you put him in the car seat and it's dark, most kids would go to sleep, he screams bloody murder the entire time he's in the car seat in the dark. It doesn't matter if you're going 5 miles or you're going 50. It's insane. And so, you know, I was talking to Chad last night. I'm like, yeah, because I called him from the car and I was like, just wanted to let you know I'm driving in the dark. And he's like the screaming in the background because we have the Bluetooth in the car. It's hands-free. And so he's like, is this going to go on forever? And I was like, you know, it would be very strange to have a 16-year-old boy in the backseat of the car crying. Like that, it's going to have to stop at some point. It just may take years. I don't know when it's going to stop, but eventually, like, it can't go on forever. He's not going to be 42, and we're going to be, like, going somewhere, you know, and he's going to be crying. So
it does make you wonder how people that have 3 and 4 do it, because they never get – it takes 15 years to get through that screaming phase.
Oh, my God. My sister-in-law has 3 kids, and she has had a baby on her hip for, like, 8 years. I'm like, how do you do that? You're crazy. You're just crazy. I'm sorry.
Now, it does eventually end. Our friend who has 10 kids that lives in Kentucky, Carrie,
God.
She has 10, and she's at the point now where I think the youngest one is finally out of diapers, but the oldest one is out of the house. It's, like, 21. So she's got anywhere from 21 to, I think now it's 2 or 3 is the youngest one. So she's finally getting to the point where after 21 years, she's out of diapers. She doesn't have to do diapers
anymore. How exhausted is that woman on a daily basis? I mean, dear God.
Oh, let me throw this in. She homeschools.
My stomach just started hurting. It's very popular around here, and I have a lot of students that are homeschooled, and it's great because they can come in the middle of the day for lessons, so I can still teach, like, after school, so I get double the amount of lessons. Although I look at their mothers, and now I used to be like, oh, that's cool. Now I'm like, you people are insane. Like, when he goes to school, I'm going to actually get to ride a horse. I'm going to be able to, like, vacuum. I mean, just random stuff. It's going to be amazing. And those who don't have kids or are thinking of kids, or our listeners that I know that are pregnant, you know who you are, enjoy whatever you can do right now. Just do it. Because you're going to have about 8 years of having to wait around for stuff and not having hot food.
There is a reason that we never had kids.
I mean, I love it. I wouldn't change the world, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I get to vent to you guys because my husband's gone and my baby's asleep. So you are going to have to hear it from me. I'll quit now, though. Get to the guest.
Let's go to our first guest, Shelley from Cantor Lane Design. She comes on with us about once a month to talk home decorating and, you know, crafty things. But she's the Martha Stewart of Horses in the Morning. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Glenn. How's it going today?
Good. Don't you wish you had the money of Martha Stewart? And then that would be
awesome. Oh, my gosh. Good.
I'd like the Frisians that Martha Stewart has.
Yeah. I saw pictures of her riding her Frisians yesterday, and she has some nice horses.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Her whole property, well, probably one of many properties, I'm sure. It's insane. It's so beautiful.
You don't live on a property like that, Shelley?
For all of the guests, we can just pretend that I live on a property like that and that I am truly the Martha Stewart of the horse world, but sadly, no, not quite close. I'm just kidding.
Shelley, here's what you are. You're the broke-ass Martha Stewart. I love it.
It's true. Oh, my gosh. That is, like, absolutely the truth. That is true. It, my design skills come out of necessity rather than luxury.
I understand.
Do you think she was ever broke? I don't know Martha Stewart's whole history. I don't know if she had money all along or if she was broke at one point and then got this way. I don't know.
I know she started out when she was younger as a teenager. She did modeling. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what models were paid back in the day, but I don't know really what her family history was, but I don't think she really ever suffered that much.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I just Googled her, and you're never going to believe this. She is going to be on season 18 of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I mean, she kind of moves around a little bit calculated when you see her on TV. So
she's
I don't know
stiff.
How smooth her
she's
moves are.
She's stiff as a board.
Yeah, she really
calculated
is. That
was
like,
a nice way.
Yeah, she is stiff as a board.
Hey, you know, maybe she learned some moves in jail, though. Maybe those other girls in jail taught her some moves. She might be really good.
Oh, my gosh. I'm kind of excited for this. Maybe she's going to surprise us all and just, like, bust out the breakdancing moves.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But I appreciate your enthusiasm.
Shelley, you didn't come here to talk about Martha. What did you come here to talk about?
Oh, my gosh. I love this, though. I love the digression. It's really fun. We are going to talk today about repurposed equestrian decor and adding the equestrian flair to your home decor. So Jennifer reached out to me and said, how do you think we should recycle some of our old horse items and make them into decor-related items. And when I, of course, everybody who loves the horse world usually has a few horsey things in their house. But when I looked online and did a little bit of research on how people were actually taking their old horse items and refreshing them for decor or recycling them and repurposing them into new decor items, I was actually really surprised at how insanely creative people were. And it wasn't there was definitely some tacky things, but overall, people did an amazing job and did the blog post. And so people can definitely follow along, and I'll post the links to the blog post on your Horses in the Morning Facebook page. But the first category that I looked at was repurposing old show ribbons. I personally just have a piece of twine hanging above a bedroom mirror, and it just has all the horse ribbons hanging from it, just like a lot of people do in front of their horses' stalls. But when I looked and saw what some people were doing, it was pretty fantastic. I saw everything from photo frames wrapped in the flat pieces of the horse show ribbon. So the whole entire frame was wrapped, and then they put one of the rosettes on the corner of the frame. So you really had like 15 or 20 of your horse ribbons mashed in together on one photo frame, which was pretty amazing. So maybe just your singular horse's picture could be with like all of his or her ribbons, and you don't have to deal with the big pile of them. Another thing that people did was they made a rosette ribbon wreath and hung it on a front door.
Oh, cool.
Or in, it was really neat. And there were multiple examples of making a wreath this way. And if you just purchased at the craft store either a wire form or one of those foam-style forms, it would be pretty simple, actually, to either hot glue or quickly stitch along the backside onto the wire form and get your whole wreath going. And it was really pretty. They're really, really nice looking. Another thing,
before you go on, Reese Crumpler Stanfield, the host of the
Dressage
Radio Show, she actually did a ribbon wreath at Christmas time, and I have the picture here. I'll post it on our Horses in the Morning page. It looked really cool. So
they look amazing. I'll have to post it I'll link it onto the blog site and link back to her on there. That would be really fun.
Yep.
Yeah, they're really amazing looking. Another thing was, of course, the shadow box, which is, if people don't know what a shadow box is, I'm sure most people do. It is like a large picture frame, usually with an acrylic or glass cover, and it's usually about an inch or two deep, and it's basically like a very shallow cabinet, and you can just put things that have some thickness to them behind it. So people were doing that with their ribbons. And then another really cool idea was for kids, they made, it kind of reminded me of like a fairy wand. And so basically you cut the bottom part of the rosette off, and then it had a long stick at the bottom. And it looks kind of like a flower or a fairy wand. But you could also do a ribbon bouquet out of these and basically just put them in a vase or jar, and they looked really pretty. So that was what I found for horse show ribbon repurposing. Another item was repurposing old carriage parts, and I love old horse carriages. I've never done actual driving. I know that there is a Horses in the Morning driving show, right?
Oh, there's a Horse Radio Network driving show, correct. Yep.
Yeah. And there's always so many beautiful carriages out there. I have a friend who owns a carriage company, and I just love seeing all of their carriages. And so taking antique seats from the carriages and using them as either an entryway bench to the home, or I thought it would be pretty to put one at the foot of a bed and put some decorative pillows there or have some cushions made. You could really mix some modern and antique elements there, and just leaving them in their original existing condition, unless, of course, they're upholstered and it's really gross, looked amazing. And most of the photos that I found were of the original old, dinged-up, weathered wood, which was really pretty. Another thing, which I totally can't...
Before you go on there, a lot of people will take, too, you know, out of carriages, while we're on the carriage bent, a lot of people will take the lanterns that used to be on carriages, and they'll actually take the actual lanterns and they'll hang them by their front doors. Problem with that is it's very expensive. Those lanterns will sell for anywhere from $500 to $5,000. So, when you get the actual carriage lanterns that are antiques at the auctions, they'll go for big, big bucks. But a lot of people don't do that.
It would be good then if you took one of those lanterns to an electrician and had it hardwired, and you could have a pendant created out of it or a wall sconce, and maybe you'd put them in a bathroom or a powder room or an entryway, someplace that, of course, it would be safe. Because, that would be, unless you live in a really nice gated community, it would probably be not so good to have that on your front porch.
Okay, cool.
One other thing that I saw, and I cannot take credit for, I found it online, and I don't know who to trace it back to give the credit to, but it was one of those super cute ideas that I just can't take credit for. But they repurposed old jump standards and poles and made them into the headboard and footboard of a bed. And it looks so neat. It looks really awesome.
Yeah, you know, I've seen that actually where you can actually order brand spanking new ones. Those of us who have horses that when are released anywhere near the arena, sadly, our, like my horses, chew on the standards and the poles and the jumps. So I would have to buy a new one or break poles
no.
or do things like that.
Actually, your horses are just saving you some money because with the distressed look being so popular, they just did all the work for you. Yeah, that somebody else would have completely charged you hundreds of dollars for. It's just like jeans. Like, you can buy them brand new looking or old looking. Usually the old looking ones are more expensive. So you're totally ahead of the curve.
Yeah, sure I am. Thank you for saying that. I am the perfect person for Broke-Ass Martha Stewart to talk to, okay?
You should just start marketing it. You could probably make a good side business.
Distressed jumps. I've actually, yeah, sure, whatever.
Exactly.
That works.
Exactly. The next category, I looked at repurposed grain sacks and feed bags. And, of course, there's a lot of the burlap-style bags out there that you don't necessarily always get from the feed stores anymore, but those make really neat-looking pillows, or sometimes people have upholstered seats of chairs with them, and it looks really, really nice. But I was surprised at how awesome the products were coming out when people took the plasticky-feeling feed bags, which is the majority of what feed bags are now, and they did everything from coin purses with zippers to tote bags, gift bags, and I even found a woman who made gardening aprons out of them, and it was amazing. And you could use a horse one and make a groom's apron out of it. It was, they're really cool. And there was a pattern online that showed you step-by-step exactly how to do the apron, and there was also patterns online for the tote bags. So I linked both of those to the blog post. They're pretty, really creative. It was really.
Now, you've got good ideas, but are you crafty enough to do this stuff? Because if you are, I'm going to send you a bunch of old ribbons. I'm going to send you a bunch of old jumps. If you can actually do this stuff, it's amazing. So can you, or are you just are you the big idea guy or the detail guy, you know?
I'm definitely a little bit of both. I can definitely do any of the crafts that are on the blog post. However, it's tackling my patience level at any given time. And I have a sewing machine. I do sew. I did make all of the Christmas decor items for when we talked about the original post about Christmas time and decorating the barn for less than like $100. So I can do most of it, but I will say there are some things that are beyond my scope. And in those cases, I would just buy it because it definitely, I don't know, I haven't tried making the apron or the tote bag yet. I'm definitely going to try doing the tote bag first and then seeing if I can do one of the aprons. As soon as I do some of these crafts that I've posted today, I'll definitely post and let everybody know how it comes along.
That'd be great.
Love it.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not all of us have time to make all these things, which is, of course, why there's the market for it. But I try not to post ones that I wouldn't at least try to tackle myself, whether or not I can do it as beautifully as some of the posts. That's yet to be determined.
Well, I posted on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page Reese's picture there with her ribbon wreath, which I thought she did a really good job on. She was very proud of at Christmas time, so I posted that. And of course, where can people find your blog? Jennifer posted a link to it at Cantor. It's CantorLane.com, right?
Yeah, CantorLane.com is the actual blog, and then
right.
Cantor Lane Design is more of my portfolio and a link to the Etsy shop. And if you don't feel the creative bug coming on, you can always visit, of course, the links that I've posted to the blog post to other people's items, as well as my own Etsy shop. I sell poster prints with equestrian theme and some other equestrian-related items. And you can find all of those links at canterlanedesign.com.
Thank you very much. It's good to have you on again, Martha.
I have some bad news.
Okay.
I'm really sorry.
Okay.
So after Googling about Martha Stewart being on Dancing with the Stars, I clicked on the article and I read a little bit, and I'm sad to say that Martha actually turned it down. It was a misleading article title to get us to click on it, and sadly she said no. She's apparently very good.
No, Martha.
So she will not be shaking it or twerking on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my gosh, could you even imagine Martha Stewart twerking? That's horrifying.
No, I don't want to be honest.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Oh, exactly.
Thank you
so much, you guys. Have a great
day.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's take a break for our product of the week with EquestrianCollections.com, and then we're going to have a song. Bye. We haven't heard from Shay and her violin in a while, the Rigel Band. We're going to do all that. And, of course, we're coming back with the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge with groom extraordinaire Max Cochran playing one of our listeners by the name of Shannon Reisner. We'll be right back. Hi, Glenn here, and I am back with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week we're featuring Ariat, a product line everybody knows and loves. This week I'm featuring the Aberdeen Reversible Vest, because this is just the cutest little spring vest. It's navy on one side, and it's reversible with a little bit design on the inside of it, so that you have two vests in one. It's very lightweight, so it's perfect for spring. It's not for winter. It's not for now. It's something that you would want to get for spring. It's got the two-way zipper.
Which will come eventually this year.
So I hear. And it's got the reversible zippers, and it's Ariat. It looks fantastic, especially for something like a clinics or the pleasure rides are happening now, the sponsored ones that are all over the place for the different, and it's reversible, so you can wear it in with different outfits. And I also wanted to let everybody know that the spring Ariat line has come in. And so if you're looking for this year's Ariat quarter zips and polos, we have them here at Equestrian Collections, many of them in stock and ready to ship today.
And if you haven't been to Equestrian Collections lately, go check it out. I love the new website. The design is very easy to get around, and it's just so much easier. The shopping cart works great. I just love all the changes that have been made to it recently. And you'll find all of the area products at EquestrianCollections.com. Well, that is Vivid by the Rigel Band with our listener Shay on the violin there. And you can't find any of their music anymore, except I don't know where you find it because I think the Rigel Band has broken up, and unfortunately I don't know what Shay's up to. Yeah, they've broken up now, so I don't know what Shay's up to, but I hope she doesn't give up the violin because she's very, very good. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and of course Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by Back on Track Products. You can find all of their terrific therapeutic products at backontrackproducts.com. Well, it is that time of the week that everybody loves.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
That's right. It is time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, brought to you by Equity, who is our favorite maker of manure forks in the whole world. We all use them and love them. You know, we have one of the top grooms in the country coming on and as the celebrity today. And if she isn't already, she should be using the manure fork, the Shaken Fork, and the Flexen Fork. They're two of the best out there. You know, we're passionate about manure forks because we use them every day. All of us use them every day. And we hate the ones that are flimsy and they break and they're just pieces of crap. Well, these are the ultimate manure forks. They're not those. They are terrific for cleaning fields. For the Shaken Fork is absolutely wonderful. If you're doing more than two or three stalls a day, you'll save half your bedding and half the time using the Shaken Fork. They're definitely worth the investment. They cost a little more than regular forks do that you'll find, the cheapy ones that you'll find in the stores, but they are well worth every penny. Go check them out at EquityMFG.com. I think half of our listeners now are converts, and they'll use nothing else. Well, we have a celebrity on I'm very excited to have with us today. She's been a guest on a number of the shows here on the Horse Radio Network. Everybody knows her from her past experience over at the O'Connor Barn as the groom, and I think a lot of people remember her from her pictures with Teddy or Theodore O'Connor, the very famous pony from a couple of years ago, and she's just a lot of fun. Max Cochran is here today. Good morning, Max.
Good morning.
So good to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
You haven't heard Jennifer's questions yet, but hold your thanks because she can be tough sometimes. It can be tough sometimes. Max, what are you up to these days? You're not with the O'Connors anymore. What are you doing?
No, as I say, I retired from the O'Connors. It was always the plan for me to leave after the Olympic Games. After 11 years on the road, I sort of wanted to be able to spend some more time with my family and my boyfriend and sort of things like that, be able to pick and choose where I went and not have a full-time rigorous day in, week in and week out of weekends after weekends of competing and traveling. So I do a lot of freelancing now. I'm actually on my way to Red Hills soon to help somebody there. I also help my other half, Scott Keach, who is a show jump rider for Australia. We're based here in Ocala, and we've got a farm here, and I sort of help him run that a bit. He's got a great group of girls that work for him, but I help that out a little bit. And then sort of do some bits and pieces of freelancing here and there, looking after people's farms when they travel, et cetera, et cetera. I've had some people also, too, have gone in and trained their staff how to better run their farm. People that are just come out on their own, they hire me to come in for a week to maybe even just a few days, just to sort of get an overview of their farm, how they can run it better, where they can, make some changes to make the day more, run a bit smoother and stuff like that. So just picking up bits and pieces where I go and seeing where the next adventure takes me.
You know, all our listeners, 90% of them are
female.
She's
an equestrian. Glenn, she's an equestrian consultant. That is the coolest job ever. Way to go, girl.
You know, 90% of our listeners are female, and out of that whole thing you just said, they heard that you found yourself an Australian guy with a cool accent.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they heard out of that, Max.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
All I heard, Max, was equestrian, show jumper, Australian, and you had it. You had it.
Good job,
exactly.
Max.
Exactly.
Now they all are gone. Well, now we know why she wanted to spend more time at home.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Max, tell us the way this works is you're going to be pitted against one of our listeners who we're going to introduce here shortly. And if you happen to win the trivia challenge, then we are going to give the prize, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, to a charity of your choice. What charity have you chosen?
My charity of my choice, I just have to make sure I have the correct name on this. It's the equine now I'm drawing a blank on the name of it. I'm sorry. Give me one second. It's the Equine Rescue for Florida. They do a tremendous, tremendous job. And we've done some work with them when I was with the O'Connors. It's called the Horse Protection Association of Florida. A couple years ago when the market sort of fell out for the racehorses here in Florida, that sort of middle class group of people, a lot of them just packed up and left their horses. And so we got a little bit involved with them and tried to help them out and find some homes for the horses. We went to their facility, and their facility is run tirelessly by these unbelievable volunteers. And the farm was so clean and so organized, and it was so impressive. And they really should be applauded for their efforts of what they do, because sometimes it's just a lot of thankless work.
Well, for you to say that, it means a lot. And we're glad that the Horse Protection Association of Florida is the 501c3 charitable organization that you chose today. Jennifer, tell us what the winner will get for today's trivia challenge, and then we'll meet your competitor.
Today's prize winner will get a box of Redmond Rock from Redmond Equine. Redmond Rock does not make salt. Mother Nature makes salt. Redmond Rock just brings it to us and our horses. They mine the naturally deposited salts in Utah, and they make it into big old rocks for our horses, and it contains a wider variety of vitamins and minerals than the traditional processed salt brick that you'll find in your horse's stalls most of the time, and horses just love it. And they also make products for helping your horse's digestive system stay healthier, as well as human products. So you're going to get a big box of goodies from Redmond Rock.
And that's worth $75 plus. He always sends out a lot of stuff to the winners, so we appreciate that. And your competitor, Max, is a listener by the name of Shannon, I think it's Reisner. Good morning,
yes.
Shannon.
Good morning. Hi, Max.
So good to
hi, Shannon. How are you?
Good. Yeah.
Now, do you two know each other?
A fellow eventer. Yeah, well, I'm a fellow eventer, and I am quite involved with Area 8's USEA Area 8 as the adult rider coordinator, and we actually brought Max in a couple years ago as our keynote speaker for our awards banquet.
That was so much fun.
A great time. Yeah, we were up in Ohio. It was a really fun trip.
Yep.
It was a really good group of people. It was really fun.
Yeah, and we had you with the banquet on Saturday night, and then had you back for question and answer session on Sunday with nutrition and horsemanship. And I think, it was 2 or 3 hours, and everybody could have listened to you all day long. It's just so well received.
Well, I think what we have here today is two eventers going at it. We have Ohio against Florida today. So we're going to see how this shakes out. Well, good luck, Shannon. It's so good to meet you. And thank you also for listening. We appreciate that. Max, Jamie is going to ask the questions. We have three rounds of questions for you today. If you tie, there's a tiebreaker, and that's whoever can answer first. These questions are brought to you by Jennifer, so if you hate them, talk to her.
Okay.
If you get the questions right, you'll hear the bell. If you get the questions wrong, I have the high school basketball bell.
Oh.
So. Bring back memories, Max.
It's awful.
Go ahead, Jamie. You're up.
All right. Well, guys, thank you again for both joining us this morning. And we can just get right to it. And, again, I like to start off all of these with giving out Jennifer's email, jennifer@horseradionetwork.com, for your complaints. All right. The first question is going to go to Shannon, and I'll go Shannon Max. We have three questions each, and then we'll have a tiebreaker if need be. So, Shannon, are you ready?
I guess.
All right. Now, by the way, I was an eventer in Area 8 and Area 3, so you both are – it's win-win for me, okay? So I'm pulling for both of you. All right, so, Shannon, a groom might plat a horse for competition. What is the more common term for platting or plating?
Braiding?
Yay!
Cool.
Yeah,
right.
apparently Jennifer has been shopping for questions from the book from 1848 on how to take care of your horse.
Sweet.
All right. We will go to Max. Max, now just to be a little honest, your questions are going to be a little harder.
Okay.
All right. Number one, here we go, Max. Kaolin, bentonite, and aluminum silicate are common ingredients found in what first aid product?
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. Kaolin, and I might not be pronouncing these correctly,
okay,
by the way. Kaolin, bentonite, and aluminum silicate are common ingredients found in what first aid product?
First aid product. Thinking it's going to have to either be silver cream or Alu spray or Alu film. I'm going to have to go with the Alu film because it's got the aluminum bit in it. So I'm going to go with that one.
I should have said clay. If I would have said clay, you would have cleared it. Poultice. So the questions were not that hard, okay?
Well, and, you know, Max has never had the opportunity to use poultice in her life, so, you know, we can.
Probably not.
Nah.
And, by the way, you can't actually read the ingredients on poultice because once you use poultice once, the entire container
all over,
is smeared gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of a crap question. Again, jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Here we go. Shannon, your question number two.
And Shannon has the early lead.
Yeah, Shannon has the early lead. This is going to be multiple choice. Okay? Multiple choice.
Okay.
In what year did Pippa Funnel win Rolex Grand Slam of Eventing? Is it A, 2007, B, 2003, or C, 1999?
I'm going to say 2003.
Oh,
that's correct. Good job.
Dang, she is batting 1,000 right now. Impressive. Very impressive, Shannon. Okay, so we'll move to Matt. That was a good guess. Go for the middle. Always go for the middle.
Yeah.
Max. In what year, and this is going to be multiple choice as well, what year was the minimum rider weight requirement for cross country abolished? Okay. Was it A, 1975, B, 1987, or C, 1998?
I'm going to say 1998 because I remember them trying to wander around. Yeah. Yay.
Good job.
Yay.
I remember them. I signed a petition for that, so I remember that a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think your former boss was pretty much the reason that they abolished it because she was the lightest
Carol
rider.
Carol Kozlowski did so much work on that because she rode a teeny horse and she was a teeny rider. Carol Kozlowski was, and that was same thing. Some of those riders, they can't help if they're little.
Now, what did they used to do? Did they used to add weight like they do in racing?
Yeah, there was lead weight. They had saddle pads that carried weight, and so you had to, before you started Phase A, you had to weigh in. And then at the finish of cross country, the finish of Phase D, you actually had to get off, untack, unsaddle your horse and weigh in before anybody could touch your horse.
To make sure you hadn't dropped them out of the way.
You also had to ask permission to get off. And if you got off without asking permission, you were eliminated.
And nowadays, before you get off, you just have to unhook. Like, that's the only thing that's
over now. Or not. It's actually very entertaining when someone doesn't. So
this is true. This is true. All right. Well, we are at 2-1. 2-1, but she almost gets extra points for knowing so much about that question. Shannon, your third and final question. It is not multiple choice.
Uh-oh.
In 1978, okay, probably before you were born, bless your heart. In 1978, Bruce Davidson won the world championships aboard Mike Tango. Where were the 1978 eventing world championships held?
No looking it up.
No Googling.
No Googling.
No Googling. Boy, I have
Take
no
idea.
Guess. In England.
No, the eventing world championships now are known by a new name called the Rolex.
Does Max
Kentucky.
Know where they were?
They were at
really?
Lexington.
Yeah, that's right.
Right down
that's
the
right.
road.
It was the very first world championship.
No,
trip.
I had no idea. I learned
that's
something.
Where the statue out front comes from. That's
okay.
Why Bruce is in the statue. Yeah, that's the reason.
All right, well, you know, we are tied up right now. So here we are going to go over to Max for the third question, and the third and final and, in my opinion, the hardest. Here we go. Max, the first
Actually,
FBI
I just wanted to clarify that we're at 2-1. Max
2-1.
Still,
no.
She needs this to
I'm
tie.
Still, I need this to tie.
Oh.
Bring it.
Oh, my God.
Bring it
sorry.
On.
You know, I can't count to three, okay? So let's stick with it here.
Adventure.
The first FEI World Equestrian Games, the first WEGs, in 1990 were held in this country. What was the country?
1990 was the Hague, they called it, in, I guess it's the Netherlands, isn't it?
Yeah, you're...
The Hague.
I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
What?
I'm going to give it to her. I'm giving it to her. It was Sweden. But you're,
oh,
you had
Sweden?
The right idea.
It was called
you,
the Hague. Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
That is right.
Okay.
It was. She
was
had that part
Sweden?
Right.
I thought everybody said it was in Holland. Okay.
Just to make sure Sweden is not the Netherlands, okay?
Yeah,
so
no, I know. I'm thinking through now. I'm thinking. I just know they called it the Hague, and everybody said it was terrible.
Yes, that is correct.
The conditions were terrible. Yeah.
You know what? Actually, the first, like, three World Equestrian Games were not very well received. It didn't go well. It's going better now.
They should all be at the Kentucky Horse Park then. They know how to do one.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
All right.
So we have a tiebreaker.
We got to go to the tiebreaker. Okay. So here is what you're going to do. Here's how this works. It's a series of clues, and the first person to know it, your buzzer is going to be your name. So if Max, if I read the first thing and you know what it is, yell out Max, and then we'll go to you for the answer. You guys got it?
Sure. Yep.
Okay. All right. So I'm just going to start to read them, and as you know it, state your name. Okay, this is called Name That State. Name That State. You're going to get a 1 out of 50 shot. All right, first clue. Eventer Bruce Davidson Sr. was born here. It is in Area 1. Millbrook Horse Trials are held here. Oh, my God, that was in a straight-up tie. It sounded like shacks. So, Shannon, what's your answer?
Is it Pennsylvania?
Max, do you have another answer?
New York.
New York, okay.
That
and
is correct. It was New York.
Goes to Max. Yes, it was New York. Exactly. The final clues were one of the Triple Crown races happens in the state, and until 2002, the National Horse Show was held here. So
We have our winner. This is the first time
except,
a celebrity
hold
has
it.
Won.
Hold it, hold it. We got a problem. Jennifer's coming in as the judge and saying this is not correct, that apparently the – what did you say, Jennifer? The next time it was held in Hague, the Netherlands, that Sweden was the first one?
Correct.
So we're going to declare it a tie, and I'm going to talk to Redmond Rocks, and we're going to make sure that your charity gets a big box of Redmond Rocks, which they could probably use. And, Shannon,
Yay!
We're going to make sure you get one, too. You're both
winners.
Oh,
that's awesome. Yeah, I'm going through electrolytes like crazy, just trying to keep the horses drinking. This winter has been rough.
Well, yeah, this worked out perfect. Glenn, you're just too dang nice, okay? Congratulations to both of you for coming on and, answering these questions. And what, you don't know. It could be embarrassing. And so you did good, both you guys.
I have a question for Max.
Yeah, go ahead.
Max, will you be doing any freelance work at Rolex?
I will be. I will be at Rolex. I will be helping Jenny Brannigan. There's a long path to get there, but as of right now, that's the plan.
Okay, good. Good luck to her and you.
Yeah.
Now, Shannon, are you going to be at Rolex too?
Yes. That's just an hour and a half down the road, so I can just pop on down there.
Well, you both are going to have to promise to come by because Glenn and I are going to be doing a live broadcast on Friday morning and Sunday morning. So please come by. You don't have to bring a rock. We know what they look like. You don't have to take pictures or anything. And that'll be great. And both you guys, make sure you come and join us on the show, Horses in the Morning. We'll get some more details on where we're going to be broadcasting from. We'll have all the details leading up to it. But make sure you stop by, and thank you guys both for stopping by today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for having us. This was really fun. Thank you so much.
And I wanted to mention that it was the Horse Protection Association of Florida. It was Max's charity. It's hpaf.org, and we'll make sure that they could probably use some mineral rocks as well. So we're going to make sure they get those.
Perfect.
Shannon, hold
Thank
on.
You.
You're going to Jennifer's going to talk to you and confirm your address so we make sure we send it to the right place. Thank you so much for playing. And, Max, it's good to talk to you again.
Thank you so much, Glenn. I really appreciate it.
All right. See you, Max.
Bye, guys.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah, I'm sure, Max. We'll get her. We'll make sure she stops by for our coverage at Rolex. We're going to be doing two shows from there. We're going to have an unusual Sunday morning show live from Rolex, so that'll be a lot of fun. Maybe I'll be there. There something came up yesterday I had
God.
To talk to Jamie about. So I got a letter in the mail, and you know how your heart sinks. We were talking about when you get the knock on the door from the mailman, and they have a registered letter for you. Well, I got a letter.
Brutal.
Yeah, I got a letter in the mail that up in the upper left-hand corner said summons for the United States District Federal Court, and I went, oh God, I'm being sued. One of the listeners hates me. All these things go through your mind, right?
And honestly, Glenn, when you told me, you're like, I got a certified letter, and I was like, oh, my God, we're being sued for playing a song or something.
Really went through my mind. But, no, it was that I have to report for jury duty. So it's requesting my presence on Monday, March 31st, so we'll have to have a sub in that day because I have to be there at 8:15 in the morning. And this isn't just for any jury duty. I apparently am special. You know, county jury duty, when you get have to go to the county courthouse. It's 4 or 5 days usually, and you go in the morning, and if you're not called, you don't even necessarily have to go back the next day. Well, this is for federal jury duty, which is a month. I have to be on call for 30 days.
Who do I need to call? That is not going to work for my schedule.
Well, I tried that. I tried to go in and fill out the form to exempt me from jury duty. You know what is ironic is I've always wanted to be on jury duty. I always thought that'd be kind of fun. You know, you go in, you get a couple of day case, and then you go home, and you got to be – because in my younger days, I always wanted to be a lawyer. So I always thought this would be kind of fun to be on the jury, but I didn't expect to be on the jury for 30 days. So it happens to be for the whole month of April. So I'm going to do my best to make sure I don't get picked for a long trial. You know, I wouldn't mind a couple-day one. But, you know, the 3 or 4 week federal case where, you know, they're bringing somebody up on massive drug charges that's going to take a month, I'm going to try and avoid that one. And I'll
death
just
penalty.
Say I believe
–
and death penalty for everybody. That's right. No matter what the crime, it's the death penalty. I'll try that one. I don't know if it's going to work or not. But I'll give it a try and see if I can make sure I stay off of those. Because I could end up in a case and not be able to go to Rolex, which would really suck.
Yeah, that would not work for me. And it would be really sad to have Jennifer go without you because, you know, I would have to have her. So
well,
it's
definitely
going to
go without me.
Okay.
If I don't get to go.
Girl trip, whoop, whoop. Except for my husband's going. So, yeah.
And I wanted to mention that because it's an opportunity to mention that there, I think, are still some rooms left with our special rate of $99. We'll post that again on Facebook. It's at the Clarion Hotel in Lexington. It's the Clarion Hotel Lexington. Their $99 rate for all the nights of Rolex. If you haven't gotten a hotel yet, Shannon, if you haven't gotten your hotel yet, definitely go check it out. To give them a call if you want to stay overnight. You can't beat that rate. And it's a nice hotel. They have a big indoor water park, and they have a good restaurant there, serves Southern classics. And Jamie really likes it that they have a bourbon bar with like 20,000 different kinds of bourbon. So,
bourbon fan.
They also have wine and different things like that. And it's right down the street, literally, from the park. It'd take you, 10 minutes to get to the park from there. So,
no, it's great. And, you know, my girlfriend Nancy was just trying to get a room, and she was like, oh, I can get one through my company, and I'll get a great deal. And she called me back. She's like, they're $250 a night. I was like, Clarion it is.
Yeah.
And so she was able to get the $99 a night rate. So, definitely, guys check that out if you can. And she was like, can I stay with you? And I was like, oh, you want to stay with me, my husband, and my 10-month-old baby? Yeah, that sounds fun. Good times. She's like,
I'll
get
her
own room.
Yeah.
She booked her own room pretty quick.
It is. You have to when you call. You have to call, number one. You can't do it on their website. Their website shows sold out. We have the only rooms left in the hotel are for our listeners. So keep that in mind. And when you call, you have to say it's for the Rolex Experience, and that will get you the $99 rate, the Rolex Experience. So that's how you get it, and definitely check it out. You know, we are all planning to be there, so barring that I get put on some big, long murder trial, I should be there too. So we'll hope that all of us will be there and we'll be able to do our shows from there. I'm heading up next week, too. Next week, a week from today, I'll be flying out and flying into Louisville and heading over to Lexington for my first trip back to Lexington since we moved from there, and be covering Road to the Horse next Friday morning show, not this week, but the next week. We'll be coming to you live from Road to the Horse with hopefully some very interesting guests that we have wrangled up at Road to the Horse. It's a sellout again this year. I think they're expecting 8,000 to 10,000 people to be there for all 4 days. So we're looking forward to that as well.
So the baby's in here, and just another fun thing that they do is I've got this whole room in here set up for a baby with toys and food and everything in the whole place. And where does he keep going, and I keep having to grab him, is right over to the wires in the computer. So
your dog used to knock you offline occasionally. Now it's the baby.
Yes, it's the baby. What are you going to do? So lucky me. So I'm going to go. This has been really fun. I appreciate it. My husband will be back next week, hopefully, so you babysit.
Thank you very much, everybody. We appreciate you being here. Don't forget to download the app. And if you want to become a member, quote-unquote, an auditor for the Horse Radio Network with all the benefits that involves, like many of our other listeners have, hop on over to horsesinthemorning.com. Click on the big banner in the middle of the page. That's it for today. We will be back here again live on Friday, and we'll have a recorded show for you tomorrow.
Hey, Neuter and Geld. Have a great one. Get your Rolex tickets.